Welcome to Everybody A, Everybody Gay,
a queer exploration of Pretty Little Liars.
With your hosts, Speak Pirate, aka Joanna. I'm here, I'm queer, and I have a cat named Spencer.
And your other host, LCO123, aka Vina, a proud member of the Church of Vander Jesus.
And welcome to But Did They Die? A Charlotte De Laurentiis retrospective.
Yes, poor Charlotte is now dead in the world of the show. It's been a real tough, like, two episode arc for Charlotte. She went from being revealed as A to promptly murdered. And it just felt like a good time to kind of celebrate the things we love about CC/Charlotte, you know, the many things that we wish had happened a little bit differently. And maybe, you know, some arcs that we like to imagine could have happened in an alternate world for Charlotte De Laurentiis.
Ah, so agree. I think we should just start by talking about some of our favorite Charlotte moments. You know, as Charlotte and as CC, like in those faces that she brought to the show. And first off, I think we got to go with her introduction. The moment in that coffee shop, which is like, it was so engineered to like do this like elaborate alley cosplay in front of the liars to draw their attention, to get this introduction and have them think it was their idea to like go over there and meet her.
Right. I mean, she even sneaks in the little like line about free shopping to Aria and just like she's just milking them for information. Is that the line? Is that the scene where she has the line about my boss is like aggressively sober?
Yes.
Yes. I think like one of the things that is so smart kind of about this character is like she's playing on all of these tropes of the dumb blonde. You know, the dumb ditzy blonde who just works at the store. But like we, you know, come to know that she is actually anything but dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I like the way they introduce her as this sort of like proto Ally, because it really it really sets up the idea that like a lot of who Allison was modeled on like the way that Cece was and like her admiration for this like older, you know, this older sister type character who had taken an interest in her, and the way that that like passes down, like, so, you know, Ally was like kind of made up of a lot of Charlotte, and then Hannah is kind of like made up of a lot of Ally by Mona. And so it's just, I just feel like the overlaps there are so fascinating.
Yeah, it's like this Mobius strip of identity. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And the way that like all like so if you look at that, at Charlotte and Allison and Hannah, the way that all three of them will play off the idea of the dumb blonde who people frequently underestimate and who frequently are able to use their feminine wiles to their advantage.
Yeah. Interesting that we don't put Sarah Harvey on that continuum. She doesn't quite make the cut.
She does not.
So one of my most favorite Charlotte moments / little storylines is in the con game when she brings Aria and Spencer to the con cabin under the guise of helping Spencer get into UPenn, then spends the whole party like gaslighting Spencer and going and hooking up with Eric Kahn. And just like that is such a fun episode. Cece is so much fun in that episode. The way that she just like is flirting with Noel, with Eric Kahn and like talking about the con guys, the way that she just is like so, you know, in retrospect, like absurdly kind of helpful to the liars. Like, oh, I just so happened to have this party that I wasn't even planning on going, but I guess we could go, you know, like it's just, it is great. I love it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's like very much an episode where she's doing the, am I helping you or am I not helping you? Like, it seems like, It seems like she's not being helpful at all. But then it seems like she actually does manage to get Spencer's early admission application into UPenn against, you know, against all odds. So it's nice because it's like, this was the price that you had to pay. You had to go through this whole horribly uncomfortable party. But the other thing I really like about the con game episode is it really establishes Cece's history in this world. Like, you understand that she is like a core part of this group of like the older siblings of like Eric Khan and of Melissa and of Ian, like that she's part of like this whole shady group that has like a wild history together. Like, she maybe got Eric Khan arrested at some point. So, you know,
yes.
I like that quite a bit.
Well, and I like that she just like, she's having fun, you know, this whole episode, she's having so much fun. There's not like, she is toying with the liars, like a cat toying with a mouse, and she's toying with Eric Khan too, like you can tell, but she's just like, she's having such a good time with it. She's making it look completely effortless.
Yes. Yes. I love that version of Cece so much.
Me too. Me too. My next pick is from Single Fright Female. Do you have anything before then?
You know what? I wonder if it's going to be the same one. I have her calling Emily Americano.
And getting Americano straight up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting this kind of like, you know, kind of like letting Emily know that she has the inside info on what was going on with, you know, Proto Emerson.
Yes.
And also just like, she's just a little bit flirty with Emily herself. Like, she's really like committing to taking on like all these different facets of Allison.
Is that the scene where she says, "You were the one who was in love with Allison," or something like that? Like, there's a scene.
She's like one of Allie's friends who had this big old crush on her, you know, like she kind of like goes into that. And while she's like doing that, she's also calling Jenna, whose number she gets out of Emily's phone and threatening her.
And then when she's like, "I'll scratch your eyes out." And Emily is like, "You know, she was blind." And Charlotte's like, "Oops." Which, I mean, obviously she knew, you know, but it's so great. It's so great.
Right. Because later we're going to get the reveal that Charlotte and Jenna have been friends forever.
Right. God, Charlotte somehow knows everybody, but also spent her entire life in a mental institution. Like,
yeah,
that's how it works. I just love the way that she stirs up all of that queer drama with Emily, Paige, Allison, and Spencer in Single Fright Female. Like, that's the episode where she has the trunk show that she like desperately needs the liars to come help at, even though like whenever we go there, there's nothing happening. Like, there are no people there or anything. And she is just stoking the fire of like this weird competition, ostensibly around Paige and Allison, but like really it's, I think, around Paige and Spencer, like for Emily's heart. And she's, again, like, she plays it all so kind of guilelessly, like, "Oh, like, I'm just telling a little story here. Like, what do you, you know," but she is just setting up all of these dominoes. And, you know, I think what's so funny is like we see that flashback where it's in Cece's, like, Cece is recalling it of Allison planting that letter. And who knows if that played out exactly like that. Like, Cece is definitely an unreliable narrator.
Yes, 100,000%.
Yeah, that is such a fun one.
I really like the scene, which is also told as a flashback, when they're at Cape May and Allison comes to Cece and tells her she's afraid that she's pregnant. Because I feel like so much of Cece is this like kind of like fun party girl and also like maniacal plotter. And, you know, we see all these different sides to her. I really like this moment that shows like a deep emotional connection between Cece and Allison, like that Allison, who like does not, like, she is not in a place where she can go to like her mom or her dad or her brother or the other liars, even when she's in this type of distress, like that she has Cece, who she can turn to, and that Cece is like you know, she like goes away from the party to talk to Allison. You know, I just feel like that moment showing that connection between them is one of my favorites as well.
I completely agree. It's really like, it's a rare moment of vulnerability from Allison, and it ends up being a rare moment of kind of support from Cece that I really like. I love, and this is all kind of in this like season three era, when she is basically setting up Arya to sleep with Ezra's younger brother. That whole weird thing where she like hires Arya to come take pictures and then like hires Wes, is that his name? To come like, I don't even know, like help set up the pictures. And then they like, there's a wine bottle that gets spilled and it's a whole thing. And then like that episode is capped off by Cece like unnecessarily lying that her car got towed when she's just like in her car hanging out.
Well, she's in her car, but she has just dropped Emily and Jason in that elevator.
She
had to go get sandwiches or something, but really she had to like go do an elevator caper. And then she's just in her car acting like her car broke down.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such a like fun little kind of like low stakes-ish thing.
Also, I really love her car. Her car is like a red convertible or something, which it just feels like so, it feels like so CC to me.
She probably stole that car.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have others?
Yeah, I mean, based on the title that I gave this episode, during her reveal as A, which of course we have recently talked about that episode and there are so many issues with it, but I do really love the moment when Allison is like, but you almost killed the liars 1 million times. And she's like, but did they die? No, they're fine. Like, I love the glimpse that gives us into Cece's mind. Like, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Like, they're fine. The fields replace their windows a bunch of times. No harm, no foul.
Arya got a really cute haircut in the dollhouse. Like, it's all good. Yeah. I really love that for a time, we think that Cece is the one who pushed that girl down the stairs at the party. I know we eventually learn via Hannah's dream space that this is the work of Noel, but I kind of like the idea that it was Cece. I also love, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, that's the answer at the point where the show ends. But you know, if the show had gone on for like three more seasons, it probably would have come back around to Cece or Allison or
I'm sure.
Hannah herself pushing a girl down the stairs. So no answer is final, except for, you know, that's where the wheel stops spinning.
Exactly. I also love her little face-off with Arya in Ravenswood, where Arya kicks her in the face. Like, it's such, that's such a fun scene.
Yes, yes. Her being just unkillable after being punted off the balcony.
Yes, yes. And, like, her twitching fingers, and then it's like, she's gone. and I love her goodbye with Allison before she goes to Europe in Escape from New York. When Noel Kahn is like, are you guys going to kiss? And they're like, it's like one of the few really sweet, genuine moments between the two of them.
Agree.
In addition to the did she die, did they die line, I love Don't Be So Dramatic, Allie. That was so fun. When she says to Allie that we had fun that summer, because I think it acknowledges their real connection. And then the line that just kills me every time is in that flashback with Jessica, where Jessica is saying, you know, you've been running around town with my children. And when Cece just kind of startles back and says, I'm your child too. Like, oh, that to me, like in a show, like there's so many parts of that reveal that don't work emotionally, like because of all of the many both storytelling problems and just like cultural problems at large with how they tell that. But that line is so impactful. And Vanessa Rae delivers it so beautifully. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Do you have any like favorite Charlotte as A moments? Like some of your favorite A moves?
Ooh, Ooh, oh man, there are a lot. I think that the thing about Charlotte as A is that she takes joy in being A. Like, it's not, you know, it's not all just a manipulation. I would say definitely in How the A Stole Christmas, when she decorates that whole tree.
Yeah.
It says Merry Christmas, bitches. I really like that. I really like when she makes the school building come alive to attack Emily.
Act normal, bitch.
That's, yep. That's definitely a winner. And I also really enjoy her fireworks writing. I feel like that is also an exciting innovation of Charlotte's time as A.
And what a great way to signify her return, because that's sort of her mm-hmm. saying, like, I'm still here. That was like post Shauna death.
I would also say, I'm trying to like think about when this was, because I'm like, was it Mona or was it Charlotte? Who did the toothectomy?
I
put the note in Hannah's tooth.
That was Charlotte, and that one made my
That seems like very, yeah. That seems very Charlotte. Like, Charlotte is a more, like a more physical A, like a more, like, physical torment kind of A. So, like, the tooth one is really creepy, and then also Spencer and the finger bone corset is really great.
Oh my God. So literally the ones on my list are Act Normal Bitch, Messaging Hannah's Teeth, Finger Bone Corset, and then the Dollhouse. I put the Dollhouse. But what is so great about the Message in Hannah's Teeth? It's the same episode as Act Normal Bitch. Because that's the thing where Wayne Fields like almost dies of a heart attack trying to Superman up that building to save Emily. And everybody comes over to like Arya's house or something. And or maybe it's Emily's house. And then Hannah just like walks in and she's like, oh, what a day I've had. My mouth is killing me. Like, and that is also the great, who is this monster line? I think I've said this before. I think like one of the most quintessential PLL scenes is that particular scene.
Yes.
Yes. And it's like, it's all Charlotte. Like it's Charlotte. Charlotte is the one who has like set that whole thing up. So hats off to Charlotte.
Yes. Yes. Some really fantastic A moments. Also, now that we're talking about like kind of the physical gore of Charlotte's run as A, she kicks it off with those teeth necklaces.
She likes teeth. She likes teeth. Yeah. Yeah. Dead girls can't smile.
Oh, man. Oh.
Creepy. Yeah. What are some of the Charlotte things you wanted to talk about?
Well, I feel like Charlotte is so interesting. Like, I would like to talk about her as a De Laurentiis, like how she fits into the patterns of the De Laurentiis family, because she's like, you know, she's sort of like part De Laurentiis, part Drake. Like,
yeah,
the reveal of her as A is kind of positioning her as like, oh, well, you know, she was just like another, you know, crazy person from this crazy family, etc. Like, biology is destiny. If you're born a De Laurentiis, you're going to be so messed up. Mm-hmm. But I think it's much more interesting to think of it as like a nature versus nurture situation in terms of how she was raised, like how she fits into the family, the legacy of identity that, you know, Jessica is the one who kind of teaches Charlotte to lie as a, you know, second nature kind of response.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte is the one who kind of, you know, Charlotte and Jessica, I guess, are sort of the ones who teach that to Allison, and just how that like all interplays. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I think that's such a rich conversation. The first scene that I immediately thought of is the scene in the Christmas episode when Allison has that flashback to finding the two dresses. And obviously, like, now we know that the other dress would have been for Charlotte. And the Jessica says, you know, like, literally trains her in the moment of, like, you didn't see this. Your dad will be very mad. Like, I feel like that scene is so interesting in the context of knowing about Charlotte and Ken and all of that. Also, the poor Jason, you know, as we've talked about, like, being gaslit into thinking that this person who is his sibling, you know, was an imaginary friend. I think it's like, it's tough because I feel like the Drake Laurentiis ever evolving family tree, like the reveal that Charlotte was Mary Drake's daughter, and then the reveal that that she was planning on like restarting the game. Like, I feel like both of those things undercut some of the impact of finding out that she's a De Laurentiis and her coming clean about everything in Game Over Dead Name. But I really love that. Like, I love the idea that she and Allison are like these spiritual sisters and that they are sort of constantly informing one another and that they're sort of both have so much of their mother in them, but are also like so kind of repelled by their mother. And I think Jessica De Laurentiis is such a fascinating figure. Like, you know, the scene we talked about it recently, but the scene where she is burying Allison to save to what she thinks is to save Charlotte and actually killing Allison, you know, and that she never sees Charlotte again after that night. Like, just the sort of ferocity of her love as a mother, and yet also the ways in which she's just damaging these kids all over the place. And, you know, not standing up to the husband who has like put so much of this terror in motion. It's really interesting.
I definitely think that that's true. And also, like, Jessica De Laurentiis really, like, gives the lie to, like, we should stay together for the sake of the children. Like, all of her children would have had, like, far, far better lives if she had just, like, left Ken much, much earlier.
Well, and it's fascinating, too, when you look at the lineup of, you know, Charlotte, Jason, and Allison, where it's like, and we've kind of talked about this, but it's like, Ken obviously hated Charlotte because he couldn't stand that, you know, that Charlotte was trans, and just was like, Charlotte literally says, like, he was looking for any reason to get rid of me. He hated Jason because he knew that Jason wasn't his biological son and Jason was an addict and a fuck up in Ken's eyes. And then it's like Allison sort of becomes this vessel for like the last bit of his, you know, hopes and dreams or whatever. It's just so interesting the way that the kids kind of reflect that and then, you know, push against it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that Allison, you know, it's definitely clear that Allison was his favorite and that she was like kind of the only child that the parents could agree on, was like kind of the, you know, the golden one. But also, like, that didn't work out very well for her. I think if you asked Allison about it, she would have rather had parents who like legitimately loved her and were capable of showing that love in healthy ways, as opposed to like being sort of like the pawn in like the weird staring contest of the De Laurentiis marriage.
Well, and that makes me think about how different Allison's whole experience would have been if she had grown up in a home with Charlotte. Like, obviously, because of who Ken was, that I can't see that really happening in a way that would have been particularly good for Charlotte. But like, if there was a world in which maybe, you know, somehow Charlotte was able to be Charlotte at home, gosh, Allison's whole life would have been different, you know, and them getting to actually be sisters. I would have been so amazing for them both, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's true. I also think it's interesting to like kind of compare and contrast the dynamics of the De Laurentiis family versus the Hastings family, where like Melissa and Spencer are also antagonistic, but they're antagonistic because they're always in competition with one another because they see their parents' love as being very transactional and like, they're only going to love us if we're the best. And there's only room for one of us to be the best. But they know that like they each have a chance at it, I guess. Whereas in the De Laurentiis household, like there's no chance for Jason. Like Jason is never gonna get like the brass ring of his dad loving him ever. Like, so it's just like, it's just Allison. And they kind of do the thing that the Montgomerys do, where they make Allison like the third adult in the family who gets to look down on Jason, even though Jason is like much older, gets to just kind of look down at him as a, you know, loser alcoholic.
Well, that makes me think of the way that like Melissa kind of aligns with the parents so that she can kind of look down on Spencer, because it's better to be aligned with the people who have power than the person who has no power. And then the way that Allison sort of aligns with her dad so that she can look down on Jason. And isn't it interesting, too, that like Jason and Spencer are both siblings, both addicts?
Yeah. And have like a greater emotional bond with one another, I would say, than Jason does with Allison, or than Spencer necessarily does with Melissa.
Yeah. 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 I mean, they're mirrors of each other in so many ways.
Yeah. But yeah, I just think that that's interesting to think about the way totally that Charlotte agree. Fits in to the De Laurentiis family, the way that she is a missing piece of that puzzle, and that, like, you know, we see Allison not really responding to Jessica, like Allison kind of manipulating Jessica at different times in different ways. But you don't really, like, you kind of get the sense that, like, Jessica has, like, it's like the curse of having a child who is just like you. And Jessica has two of them. She has Charlotte and she has Allison. And she is, like, woefully unprepared for that fact.
Yes.
So I kind of like the idea that, like, Jessica really doesn't know what to do about Allison. She doesn't really know, like, how Allison can, like, once Allison is kind of, like, taken out of the bottle, she doesn't really know how to get her back in. And I like the idea that, like, Charlotte is, like, at once this, like, mentor and this agent of chaos, but also this, like, stable and supportive person in Allison's life, who kind of, like, yeah. is, like, you know, she didn't give birth to Allison, but she kind of, like, creates Allison in a similar way to how Mona created Hannah.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of love there and a lot of, like, molding and sort of nudging. I also think that another thing, and again, like, just surely giving the writers more credit than, you know, surely thinking about this more than the writers did. But I can imagine that for Jessica, a thing that might have been really terrifying about Charlotte is how similar she was to Mary as well. And the reflections of Mary that she saw in Charlotte.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's true. Well, plus the other thing about Charlotte and Allison is, when you're a woman who has as many secrets as Jessica De Laurentiis does, it's probably pretty uncomfortable to have these, like, extremely good at ferreting out the hidden truths, like time bombs just running around.
Yes.
Because it's only a matter of time. Like, Jessica had, like, so many affairs. She had so many, like, there were just things that she was hiding on so many different levels that it seems like it really would be just like living life with a bunch of tripwires, just waiting to see when Allison or Charlotte was going to, like, trip over them and find something really devastating for her.
In some ways, Jason might have been her preferred child, just because he's not quite just clever the enough. Chances,
he's, like, much, much, much more easily controlled. Like, oh, that sibling didn't exist, honey. No, yeah. No. Here, have a glass of orange juice. Like, yeah, that was...
That's your friend, buddy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he
that's
made me
a
doubt
great
myself.
Point.
Isn't that the line he has?
Yes. Oh. Oh, man. So I wanted to talk about Charlotte in that context. And then I also was kind of thinking of, like, whether or not we find the resolution to be satisfying. Like, mm-hmm. What do you think makes Cece, like, a good or a believable A?
I mean, I think she's an A who has, like, she's an A who has fun with it. Like, I think one of the things that is so unsatisfying about the Shauna reveal is that Shauna is just, like, it's just revenge, seemingly. But there's not, like, she's not really taking a lot of joy in it. And Cece is an A who, yes, she has her reasons for vengeance. She has her reasons for resentment. But she also just... she's just having a good time. Like, she's having a really good time. She's getting to be really creative. Like, you want an A who's enjoying the imaginative aspects of being A. Go ahead.
I was going to say that, like, one of the things about her is A, like, her motivations are a mess. Like, we have this entire episode yes. that we just talked about, and it was when we watched Of Late, I Think of Rosewood, in the previous Lees, they actually, like, kind of cut out all the motive stuff and just had Spencer saying, like, did she think that we came between her and Allie? Is that why? And it's just like, oh, God, it was such a mess that they just, like, kind of went with that in the previous Lees. So they're like, well, if yeah. you think that's what it was, that we'll take it. That's fine. It's like an easy soundbite. So her motivations are, like, a huge mess. Like, it doesn't totally make sense. Like, she said that she targeted the liars because they were, like, glad that Allison was gone, and she felt so bad about Allison being gone. So it's, like, kind of like a Hector projector situation. But I think really the thing is, Mona was telling her about the game, and it sounded like a good time to her. It sounded like, yeah. oh, hey, that's a hobby I would like to take up, and I'm happy to, like, set all these puzzles around Radley for Mona to find. Like, why not? So totally. I think that's really cool. But I also feel like a much better motivation for them to have given her would be that the liars got to spend so much more time with Allison than she did, and they didn't appreciate it. I feel like that would have sure. been like that would have been like a more emotionally cohesive reason.
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, I think, yes, you can see her joy in it. You can see her just having fun with it. I also think kind of what we were saying about, like, the con game episode, she's a character who has a lot of connections to various characters. You know, she's kind of in that age range of, like, the Jason and Melissa and Ian. She, even before we found out that she was a secret De Laurentiis, like, she had just, you know, she worked at a shop in town. She'd go to the brewery. Like, she was kind of... She was a character who, like, kind of made sense in the world and had connections to people. Unlike, I mean, even though I think her motives are pretty weak, I think that she's more compelling in this kind of role than somebody like Andrew, where it's like, I hate Arya for being a flirt and Spencer for being a flirt. And that Hannah and that Emily, like, they're annoying too. You know, I hate all women. That's it. You know, like, just sort of... Deus ex misogyny, kind of, you know?
Right. Well, also, like you say, she's a person who feels connected to the liar world. And so I think that, like, compare that to someone like Alex Drake, who comes in the final episode and is revealed to exist and have that terrible accent. But, like, that is not a character who... Like, all of their connections are just made up out of whole cloth, like, in that episode where we learn that they exist. Whereas right. Cece feels, like, much more grounded, and, like, even though she's a late addition to the series, she shows up in season 3, you understand, like, it makes sense where she exists in this world.
Well, and you've often talked about characters who are kind of are cast as, like, the Forrest Gump of a certain era of the show. And I will say, I think that Cece is not, I would not call Cece a Forrest Gump. Like, I think that they found ways to naturally incorporate her into various plot lines and various places that she would find herself.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And Cece is extremely intelligent. Like, we yes. understand that as we get to know her as a character. So she's super smart, which also makes her believable. And you can tell she enjoys messing with the liars even without the mask on. So yeah. it makes a lot of sense. Like, it makes a lot of sense that being A is something that she would find particularly appealing.
And she's a character, I mean, again, it's sort of like separating the character from the terrible episode where they were revealed as the bad person. But, like, she can deliver that juicy villain monologue. You know, she can kind of play with it a little bit.
She can. And I feel like, you know, we spent a lot of the first two seasons, like, talking about the idea of Allison as A. And I feel like yeah. Cece as A is actually the closest that we ever get to that. But it kind of serves as a proof. Like, if Cece can be A, Allison could have been A. You know, like, those two possibilities are, like, very intertwined. This is, like, what Allison could have been like if she had ever, like, taken up that mantle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's the way in which, I mean, they kind of tried to repeat that with the Alex Drake thing of, like, oh, you sort of get to experience Spencer as A, but, the less said about Alex Drake, the better.
Well, I feel like when we talk about the show only having one idea, like,
yeah,
the whole idea of Charlotte is that, like, well, she was cut off from her family, and so, like, it led to all of this, and she had to grow up in Radley. And then the whole thing with Alex Drake is, like, well, she was cut off from her family, and she had to grow up in an orphanage in Britain. And so this is, like, it's the exact same idea. Like, they just tried to, like, put a new coat of paint on it.
Put a new coat of paint and a shiny British accent and, mm-hmm. and yeah, and call it a day.
Well, and you also get the idea that decision was 99% who is on set who can do a good villain monologue. And they were like, Lucy, go! No. Ashley, go! No. Stroyan, you got the accent. Like, okay, you're doing it.
Does she have the accent, though?
I mean, I feel like that's about as much thought as they put into it. They were like, Lucy, no, she's too short. No, they were just like casting. They were casting about. They were like, maybe they were like trying them out with, like, I don't know, Lady Macbeth's speech or something. And then try and did the British accent. They were like, oh, we're smitten. You
good
win.
Enough. Yeah. Good enough, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
Troy sat down on the chair like that, and they were just like, it's you. It's, whoa, my goodness.
Okay, here's what I will say. Alex Drake is terrible. I don't like Alex Drake, but I do like the way she sits in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
No, small
it's memorable.
It is memorable.
In a really forgettable era of the show, the way Alex Drake sits in a chair is memorable.
It is. And, like, as we have said, you know, Alex Drake is somehow Spencer but queerer. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I don't know. Alex Drake. Anyway. Yeah, I think that there are all reasons why the idea of Charlotte as A does sort of work in a way. It's so many of the particulars of how we get there that don't work.
Yeah. But I do feel like Charlotte as a character feels right. Like, Cece as A feels right. The Liars have even suspected her in the past of being A. So yeah. It really, like, you feel like the hoodie fits for this character.
Well, speaking of the hoodie, I mean, we even see her in the A hoodie in, like, season 4.
Yeah.
No new ideas.
So that kind of leads to another thing, like, without the twist, like, without the misgender misdirection, like, Cece shows up in town. She seems like, at first glance, she's this, like, clone, this older clone of Allison. And she seems like she might be a little bit sketchy, and eventually the Liars come to suspect that she's A. So in a way, she ends up right where you thought she was going to end up. Like,
yeah.
there's actually not a twist there. So what are our thoughts on the fact that, like, as she seems to be, so she actually is?
Yeah, she's kind of exactly who she appears to be. It's interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like that's not I don't know if I'm going to take this back as soon as I say it. I feel like that's not a thing that PLL always does. Like, I feel like they're a big fan of, you know, well, Toby looks like he's, you know, the Boo Radley, but he's actually this great guy. You know, Prezra, like, looks like he's A, but actually he's just writing a creepy book. Like, they sort of like to reverse expectations in a way. And we've talked about how, like, more and more they rely on shock value in favor of good storytelling, which is kind of why it, in some ways, it almost makes it surprising. Like, it feels like Cece was brought on to be A, and then, you know, that I think is a huge reason why they did the transgender twist, is because, you know, they're going to spend a period of time convincing us that A is a man, only for them to be like, no, gotcha. Yeah, it's odd. I think it's like, it's an odd way to tell a story, kind of, to tell a mystery. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. It is a strange way to tell a mystery. It's also like, and PLL does this, like, as we move into the later seasons, they do it a lot, where the villain is someone that, like, hasn't even existed on the show for a while.
Yeah.
Like, Cece has not been in an episode, like, prior to, you know, prior to the big reveal. We haven't even seen her since How the A Stole Christmas. So,
yes,
it's like they're taking a character, like, in a mystery novel, that would be like a character that you met in like the third chapter and then haven't heard from, and then like in the denouement it turns out to be them. So it's an interesting choice that they made. But I kind of, in my heart, I agree with you. They were like, who can do a good villain monologue? And they just kind of picked Vanessa Ray.
And she does. She does a good villain monologue.
Oh, she does. She does.
Yeah, I don't think it is the worst example of what you're talking about. Like, I feel like the stuff with, like, Sarah Harvey and Alex Drake, like, that,
yeah,
that's really egregious. At least Cece's been around since season three. But, yeah, it is. It feels like the big A character should be somebody who's been around since the start, which is why one Mr. Prezra Fitz would have been such a good candidate.
Yeah, I definitely, especially when you're looking at this as like the big A, I feel like that's what we really need. Especially because, like, when you look at it as like, they're looking at it as like somebody new took over the game. So you look at it and you're like, oh, so this new character came to town right around the same time that a new A shows up. Like even the timing of that is extremely suspicious. So it's just funny that, like, she comes to town, she looks super suspicious, and like, oh, guess what? All of your theories about her were right. You just got distracted by all the shiny other suspects, and then gave up.
Well, yeah, it's true. It also, it's funny as we're talking about, like, she's big A, and I was realizing, like, I feel like the longer the show goes on, the less that feels like it matters, you know, because it's like, okay, you've got Mona, then you've got like Shauna for like a little bit of time, which always felt super unsatisfying.
Well, and I don't even think like the show wants us to think that Shauna was A after Shauna is killed, but I don't really think that it's very clear that Shauna ever was A. Like, it doesn't seem like Shauna and Jenna were working in conjunction with Charlotte, although I guess maybe they were, but it mostly seems like they were some kind of rogue. They were some kind of like rogue entity that was occasionally operating in conjunction with Melissa.
Well, I feel like Charlotte had some like vague line where she was like, Shauna like didn't follow the rules, or like something vague about like how Shauna like kind of was like a maverick and kind
yeah
of...
all hell broke loose at Thornhill Lodge. I mean I'm sure we're going to talk about ships in a minute, but you know that I really like Charlotte and Melissa, so
yeah,
I kind of like the idea that like Charlotte and Melissa were like Mrs. and Mrs. Smithing each other, and so like Melissa was like showing up with her crew to like burn down the mansion so that Charlotte wouldn't get reunited with Allison, and you know, I kind of think that would be a compelling story as well.
I, you know what? It works for me. It works for me. Yeah. So should we talk about some Charlotte ships?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely up for that.
Okay. So I know Melissa is like your A number one. Talk to me about what you love about Charlotte and Melissa.
Well, okay. So I really feel like if you're going to ship Charlotte with someone, it has to be someone who is as smart as Charlotte is. They've got to be like her match in intelligence. They've got to be like her match in the ability to be somewhat manipulative. Like, they can't be someone like it can't be someone who is a Hannah style character. It cannot be someone who has like this generous open heart, because they're like, that would be like Hannah and Mona work, because Mona genuinely does want to reform, and like Hannah understands that Hannah is capable of forgiveness and stuff. Like, Hannah is not going to want to be in an active relationship with Mona if Mona continues to be kind of a sociopath. Melissa, I feel like, would not mind her significant other being like a bit of a sociopath. Like, Melissa, I think, could get on board with that in a way that other people might not be able to. So I think that that works. And I think that, like, you know, you have to be like charming, you have to be like good looking, you have to come from the right type of family. I think Melissa just checks off all of those boxes.
Oh, I completely agree. And, you know, I mean, your shipping and, you know, fic around the two of them really totally convinced me. I think it's great. I love the idea of Charlotte and Melissa. I think that there's something about the idea of like this older generation of the siblings that's kind of satisfying. They kind of fit together in a way, you know, especially in a world where Charlotte is not like weirdly tangentially related to the Hastings family. The one, as we've talked about, like the one saving grace of all of the weird reveals is that somehow Charlotte and Melissa are not blood relatives. And so we can still ship them. But the idea of like Allison's older sister and Spencer's older sister getting together is, yeah, it's interesting. I think it plays on a lot of the identity stuff that we love. A couple others that I just noted, like Melissa, I think, is the number one. However, I do think, you know, if we're talking about smart sociopathic characters, Mona, I think it's hard to ship Charlotte and Mona after the dollhouse stuff. But I think pre-dollhouse, I can see them as a potential ship in a world where, like, Mona's not a minor. You know what I'm saying? Like in a world where the particulars pan out a little bit differently and Charlotte doesn't kidnap and torture Mona and Mona is not a minor.
I agree. I think that you're correct in terms of like who else has that level of intelligence and like ability to manipulate people. I do think that Mona is up there. And I will say that I would be willing to ship Melissa and Mona for sure. But I do think you just can't really get around. Like, for me, I really can't get around the dollhouse of it all when it comes to Charlotte and Mona. Which is also why I don't really, like, ship Charlotte with any of the liars, just because it seems like that is just, like, it's a bridge too far. I think that they're definitely capable of, like, forgiving Charlotte. They're definitely capable of, like, forming a new relationship to Charlotte in their adult lives. But I just don't really... I just don't really think that it could necessarily have a romantic component for any of them with Charlotte.
I would agree. I put Emily down just from the standpoint of like their kind of vague flirting when Charlotte first comes to town is fun. Like, I feel like in an alternate reality where Cece exists and is just like a person separate from Charlotte, or like maybe the Charlotte persona doesn't exist, I feel like Emily and Cece are shippable.
Yeah, because she's like an Allison.
She's like, so an Allison.
It would be
exactly.
It would be kind of an interesting route to take there.
And then I have a completely dark horse candidate, and I'm gonna say it to you, and you're gonna be like, huh? And then I'm gonna explain it. And the candidate is Sabrina. And here is my reasoning. Charlotte, by virtue of being A and spying on the liars all the time, spends a lot of time at the brew. Sabrina works at the brew. And in my head, I was like, wouldn't it be funny if like Charlotte is constantly at the brew spying on these liars, and Sabrina is just like this sweet flower child who starts like bringing her pastries, and like Charlotte can't help but be charmed by the sweetness of this girl who has absolutely no idea what's going on, but you know, just finds Charlotte charming, you know, a lot. It would be a lot of beautiful blonde hair.
I love that story. I would totally read that. Wow. Yeah. That was a total dark horse candidate. I'm going to give you, you told me that you were going to ask this question about like who we ship Charlotte with. And I really had to like do some thinking about it, because My original notes of this, let me just pull them up, were Melissa, and then also Melissa, and then like, did I mention Melissa? So I had to like really kind of like dig deeper than that. And so I'm going to say that I came up with two other possibilities.
Okay.
One is Jenna.
Okay.
I think that a Charlotte Jenna matchup would be really interesting, because we often see Jenna as like, is she a villainess? Isn't she a villainess? Like, what's going on with that? And I think it would be really interesting to see Jenna try to develop a relationship with someone who is so much like Allison. So I think that a Jenna Charlotte matchup could be really interesting. And then I was like proud of myself. I was like, I found somebody who I could see her with, who she hasn't kidnapped or anything. So I was happy. But then I was like, oh wait, did she try to drown her? Maybe. So but like nothing is perfect.
But did she die?
Right. And like Paige tried to drown Emily. So you know, that's just like a little harmless water lung between friends. The other one that I came up with, like, I see Charlotte very much as a queer character. So I only really thought of women that I would ship her with. But then I was like, well, if she was going to go out with a guy on the show, who do I think I would put with her? And I feel like Ren would be my pick for that.
Yeah. We know she likes British dudes. I could also see her with Noel.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think that like Noel and Eric are like, you know, I see them as more of like her playthings than as, you know, serious suitors. But yeah, I think that she fits into their world very well.
I feel like there's a world in which, like, again, like in some alternate reality, alternate dimension, where she like, you know, like Noel is like her boy that she, you know, goes over and sees when she like wants some sex and just like some like mindless conversation, but then she's like always coming home to Melissa or something, you know.
Well, you know who this isn't like I'm not saying that I ship this at all, because I don't, but I think it would be a really fun twist if the show had ever done this, which is that Cece is like, you know, the age of like the Melissa cohort. And we know that, like, all of the dads on the show are pretty much dogs, like, with the exception of Wayne. So I feel like I could really see Cece resurfacing as, like, Tom Marin's latest trophy wife. And then Anna having to, like, deal with her as, like, the new stepmom. That would be something that I would have been there for.
What if she took up with Ashley instead?
Oh my goodness.
She was stepmom.
Wow. Wow. That would be, mind blown. That would be phenomenal. The only thing is I do kind of like the whole Ashley Jessica connection. So that would be like a little unusual. But the thing is, I think that Charlotte would really, like, she would want to be adopted by Ashley. Like Allison wants to be adopted by Ashley, you know, like.
It would be a little uncomfortable if Ashley had slept with Charlotte's mom and brother and then started taking it to Charlotte. That's a little too close to comfort.
I would take that over Pastor Ted, like, 7 days a week and twice on Sundays. Like, whoa.
Yes. Yeah. No more Pastor Ted. Although I feel like
oh my god, so Ashley slept with Charlotte's father as well.
She's just running down a checklist of the people in Charlotte's life. Well, I mean, I also feel like the Pastor Ted thing, like it in that way where, you know, Spala makes us think of Spanna, it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. Jessica didn't sleep with Pastor Ted. Mary Drake slept with Pastor Ted.
Right.
So never mind. That doesn't work. I was going to say, like, it's kind of that thing of Ashley and Jessica slept with the same man. But then I realized that wasn't the case. But Pastor Ted knew it was Mary Drake. Pastor Ted didn't think he was sleeping with Jessica. That was just Peter.
Right.
Okay.
I think.
It gets real confusing.
No, he must have known it was Mary Drake, because Mary Drake like stays with him. She like hides out with him for a while.
That is a weird relationship. Like, I feel like if Ashley was too much of like a wild woman for Pastor Ted, Mary Drake. I mean, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking about like different ways we might have constructed the Charlotte redemption arc, and I had a few ideas. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I would love to. Tell me about some of your thoughts.
So one is, you know, one that we talked about, the idea that Charlotte was like working for somebody else, that she was kind of maybe not necessarily a patsy, but that she was sort of an intermediary between, you know, the Liars and some other big A. One theory that I think, and I think I've written into Vic before, is the idea that Charlotte somehow might have believed that the dollhouse was a way of keeping the Liars safe from the outside world. I think that that's hard because, like, obviously the dollhouse was quite, you know, torturous for the Liars. But I think that there is something interesting in there about the idea of, like, the Liars were going to prison and Charlotte intercepted taking them from actual prison and put them into the dollhouse, which in some warped way, perhaps she believed was safer or more something. This idea of like, if she could control the circumstances, she could somehow keep them safe from the outside world.
Well, yeah. And when you hear her say like, but did they die? Like, you understand that like, Charlotte feels like nothing bad is actually happening there because no one is getting shocked and no one is getting denied, you know, like, so,
yeah.
Like she's mentally torturing them, but she doesn't really she doesn't think that that counts, I guess.
Right. Right. And I mean, all of that is fascinating when you think about Charlotte growing up in Radley and what she experienced there. And then also the other side of that, which is like, but was growing up with Radley preferable to growing up with an abusive father at home, you know, like, I don't know. I think another way they could have kind of worked the redemption arc, if there was no Rollins, like that character just didn't exist. And they didn't obviously kill off Charlotte. And the 5 years later got to be more about the bond between Allison and Charlotte. And we just like the whole weird love triangle thing is such a strange direction to take their relationship in.
Yeah, I agree that focusing on her relationship with Allie could have been really deeply interesting.
Yeah. I also think letting Spencer be involved there, because Spencer and Charlotte are half sisters. I would have liked if that got to be involved. I was thinking, what if Charlotte after the time jump got out of Welby and helped the Liars, like teamed up with the Liars against the new A? I think
that
would have been really fun.
A really logical conclusion would be having her help them in the face of them being very suspicious of her. I would have loved to see her team up with Mona in that situation and have like the old A's helping to take down the new A.
Yeah, I think the idea of like the only way you can catch an A is with another A, like, would have been really fun. And it's like a coalition of all the old A's defeating this new bad A who maybe finally would be a man.
Right.
And then this was just a little thing. I was thinking about all of the weddings post time jump and how most of them are terrible and like between people that we don't want to have get married or just like kind of sad little weddings. And I was like, I really wish that Charlotte would have like crashed a wedding or like showed up at a wedding, you know, and been like, I object. I don't think these characters should have gotten married. Like, I think it would have been really fun if Charlotte's way of redeeming herself with the Liars was just to like be an agent of chaos, but in ways that helped them. Like, if she objected to Allison and Rollins' wedding, I think that would have been a lot of fun. You know, if she like, I don't know, like if she like set Lucas's loft on fire because that somehow helped Hannah in a way, you know, if she was just kind of doing all of these like chaotic but ultimately helpful things for the Liars, like channeling her A energy into something helpful, I think that would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Well, I also think that like the show the show had like the one idea. It had like the idea of the liars being like terrorized via text message by this like faceless entity. And I think that one of the things that they could have done with Charlotte being released is that they could have changed it up. I think it would have been really interesting to see Charlotte like joining forces with the liars and using her considerable powers for good, like a la the Equalizer. Like, what if Charlotte and the liars teamed up to try to take down all of the predators in Rosewood? That would have been a show that I think people would have really happily watched.
I certainly would have. I would have loved that show. That would have been great.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like then it would kind of be like, well, you know, is it right to be hacking into all these security cameras? Well, the ends justify the means. We've just caught like, you know, these dudes doing these sketchy ass things. I just think that that could be that could have been really fun. Also, I think like one of the most important elements of a Charlotte redemption arc is to see that Charlotte like is remorseful. Because we have Allison, the passive alien, who's just like taken all the sins of the world on her back and having to atone for it like at every single turn. And I think that like we see a little bit of like Charlotte saying like, do you think they're still mad at me? But then the end reveal is like, oh, she was just going to start the game again. She wasn't better. It was all just a ploy. And I feel like that really does a disservice to this character. I wish that we had gotten to have her feel remorse and like see what it would look like for Charlotte to try to make amends and build a different kind of life.
Yeah, I agree. And to do it in a way that didn't turn her into a passive alien. Like, I don't think either of us are saying like, oh, we want to totally, you know, pure of heart Charlotte, because that wouldn't be Charlotte. Like,
right.
You could still keep her conniving ways and her rough edges and her, you know, some of her questionable choices. But you can channel that into a different kind of place, you know. And I think like we've talked about the way that A sometimes functions as like getting the liars to do the thing that they actually want to do but are scared to do. And we've talked about how, you know, there were moments with Allison and also A sort of acting almost like an avenging angel for the liars. I would have liked if that maybe could have been more explicit with Charlotte. Like if she was sort of the, not A exactly, but like an aggressive best friend trying to like scheming in different ways, but like fun ways to get the liars to, you know, maybe change up things in their lives that are not working for them. Like that could have been really fun, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I guess this leads into another question, which is, do we think that Charlotte De Laurentiis is dead?
I think the show tells us that she is. I personally like a world in which she is not dead. Like, I think
agree.
If anybody is able to fake their own death, it is Charlotte. I do think that the way that the show portrays her death makes it like, it is questionable. Like we even talked about this, like the way that they don't, you know, they don't show the body until it's in the casket. And then even then it's like, come on, there's coconut oil masks. There's masks of Allie's face. Like, but I'd love to hear like if she is not dead, like how do you imagine that playing out?
Well, I like the idea of Charlotte just not wanting to live her life under any kind of confines any longer. Like she was raised in Radley. She had like this, you know, brief period of freedom where she was kind of running around doing her own thing. But that was like really marred by the idea that she might have murdered her sister and then everything else that happened. So I really feel like Charlotte then being in another treatment facility for 5 years, I just like the idea that maybe she was like, well, now that I'm out of there, I don't want to bother with parole. I don't want to have to like have Allison be my keeper. I just want to like, I'll just fake my own death and like lay low for a few years. And then everything is going to just kind of blow over.
Yeah. I think that's great. And I, you know, I love the idea of her having, you know, a lover in every port, a thousand passports with 1,000 names. Like, I think that like that is sort of the fabulous life that we'd like to believe that Charlotte could have, you know?
Well, I mean, we thought Allison was dead. We thought Mona was dead. Cece was known to use that paralytic agent that made people look super dead.
Right.
So I just feel like, I just feel like it's not, it's definitely not 100% that she is dead.
Well, and I think I said this in our last episode, but like, I really feel like they kind of rushed to kill her off because they were sort of freaked out by the response that they somehow hadn't anticipated and just kind of didn't know what to do with the character. I don't know if that's true, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that that's probably true. But also, I think Vanessa Ray was already on another show. I think she was already a regular on Blue Bloods. So they're acting like, oh, Charlotte was always going to be like a big part of the post time jump world. That's always been, I think, kind of a questionable idea.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree.
So what do you think? What do you think was real, like, about Charlotte and about Cece? Like, Cece, you know, kind of appears as an ally sometimes. A is definitely their adversary. Does she love Allison? Does she love chaos? Like, what is the real essence of Charlotte as a character?
I think she for sure loves chaos. I think she's a messy bitch who lives for drama. Like, I think that line has never been more appropriate than when talking about Charlotte De Laurentiis. But I do think that she loves her family. Like, I really do think that she loves, I really think she loves Allison. I think she loves Jason. I think she loves Jessica. I even think that she loves her father. Like, I think as awful as he is, as awful as Kenneth is, like, there is this part of her that does love him. And, you know, I'd like to believe that she loves Melissa. But I think that, you know, she talked about, I love all my dolls and all of that. I do think she has a sort of twisted love for the liars in a weird way. I don't think it's as maybe as pure as her love for Allison, but I do think that it exists. I think that Charlotte is a character where multiple things can be true at once. Like, I think she can hate the liars and want them to go away and kind of want to kill them sometimes, and then other times want to protect them and dress them up as her dolls. What do you think?
I think that that's a really good description of how all of that kind of rattles around inside of her. And I like what you said, that like multiple things are capable of being true. Like, she's raised in an asylum and she's always locked up, but she also knows all of the people in Rosewood and frequently like attends their, like, you know, both of those things hold true for her. I think that one of the really interesting things about her, I do agree that she loved Allison. And I think when you look at her relationship with the liars, like, when you look at Mona as A, and one of her big things is that she felt like the liars were kind of like stealing Hannah away from her. And mm-hmm. Mona wanted to be in the group. Like, Mona wanted to be a liar. If Mona had been accepted by the liars, she might have just pinned the whole game on Melissa and like just kind of accepted her new group. And I feel like Charlotte is a character who has always wanted to have real friends and has always wanted mm-hmm. to have a real family. And I think that when she looks at the liars and she sees the bond that they have, like, it makes sense that that's something that she would be like simultaneously like drawn to and also repulsed by, that mm-hmm. she would mm-hmm. want to understand it, but she would also want to try to break it. And I feel like in that way, the dollhouse is like an interesting element of how her character behaves.
It's almost like a science experiment in a way. Like, it's like she's putting them under her little microscope because having friendships, that's not something she understands.
Yeah, she like wants to kind of like cut them open and see like how it looks when you love somebody as much as the liars love each other.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like a fascination for her.
Yeah. So I think that she loves Allison and like probably maybe as much or more than she loves Allison, she loves chaos. Like, she is she was like, she was sort of like born to be on one of the Real Housewives franchises, but like yes. without being married to like an icky man.
Well, she's, do you watch Killing Eve?
No.
Okay, I've not watched all of it, but I feel like Charlotte shares a lot of DNA with Villanelle. Like, I remember the first scene of Villanelle is she's, like, sitting in a restaurant, and she's looking at this little girl eating, like, an ice cream cone, and she's kind of, like, smiling to herself. And you, as the audience, you don't know this character, so you think, like, oh, what, you know, she's just enjoying this nice thing. And then she gets up and goes to leave the restaurant and, like, shoves the ice cream in the little girl's face. I feel like that's something Charlotte would do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What else? What else about Charlotte De Laurentiis?
I think we've really covered her character pretty well. I feel like she definitely deserves a lot better than what the show gives to her and what she, what we see happen. But I like to think that she was not really killed off, that she probably was just going underground and is just waiting to pop back up once she has all the evidence to show us that Prezra was A all along.
I love that theory. Before we sign off, did you want to talk at all about sort of Charlotte as A versus Mona versus A?
So if you were like, if you were going to rank the A's, I feel like Mona always has to be on top because, like, the show was more tightly written back then. Yeah. Mona's motive is, like, very queer and it makes a lot of sense. But I do feel like Charlotte is always going to be, like, up there with Mona. Like, Charlotte can be discussed in the same breath as Mona in terms of really good A's. When you look at the other people, when you look at, like, you know, Shauna as, like, little A, or you look at like, we'll get there, I know, because we're in the time jump period, but like, so is like Alex Drake A the whole time, or is A actually like Rollins and Mary Drake? Like, you don't even really know, but like, Charlotte is like, she's just heads and shoulders above any of these other jokers who Definitely. Come along in her wake.
Oh, yeah, completely agree. Yeah, I feel like post time jump, it's just a messy mass of like a emoji or emoji, as I've heard people say, like the person in the black car, the coconut masks, like evil British dude, Alex, like it is just really a mess. I think I think eventually we're going to find out that most of it is Alex Drake, except for some like coconut mask gaslighting, maybe. But yes, I think that Charlotte for sure is up there with Mona. And yeah, that's why I think the two of them working together would have been a lot of fun, like in a way that we actually got to see.
Yes. Yes. And I think that, the idea that at this time A was having fun, like it's different in the time jump. Even A seems bored. Like even AD seems not that interested in what they're up to.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. It's like everybody's kind of tired of it. It's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
I totally
agree. Everybody is a little bit over it. The most fun we have is poor Jordy.
I feel like the poor Jordy thing is like kind of funny. And also, I think there's like Hannah is attacked by a cobbler's shop.
A cobbler's
closet.
Yep.
So
isn't there one where there's like a dummy doll that's delivered to Lucas's loft that Hannah has to perform surgery on for some reason?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that does seem like it's a thing that happens at some point.
There's and a the, pun, but I can't remember.
The smart loft tries to kill Arya by setting her on fire, which is also, but those are like, you know, you can't live on bread alone.
I feel like those are
long stretches of Emily getting menaced by a truck.
I feel like those are like that would be like what Charlotte would come up with, like if she was just in bed scrolling on her phone, like hasn't had a coffee yet. Like that's not even, you know, that's just like a little appetizer in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, an hors d'oeuvre, really.
Yes, yes, absolutely. well, I feel like we have done Charlotte proud. I'm really glad after these two episodes that were pretty dang brutal for her character to be able to celebrate her. And I feel like so much of what we've been talking about recently is like our disappointments with Charlotte. And I think it's important to talk about that. But I also think it's important to like celebrate the things that we do like about her character and the things that we like to imagine her character might get to experience in a different dimension.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree.
Well, next week it will be back to your regularly scheduled post or time jump recaps. We'll be back. What is the next name of the episode that we're talking about?
You ask a great question. It's the second episode of 6B.
Oh, it's Charlotte's Web. How appropriate. hey, you know,
man,
what?
Even the name generator is tired at this point.
They're not misgendering her, and so I'm counting it as a win.
Yeah, that's a great point.
The only reason, I just want to say, I feel like the only reason that they didn't misgender her is just because there's a book title, Charlotte's Web. Like, that is, that is all.
Well, remember how on Gossip Girl, like almost every time they would switch, to Lonely Boy, they would talk about a tree grows in Brooklyn. Like they made that joke like every single time. So I feel like the Charlotte's Web thing is like the same thing. Like they have a book title that relates to this thing. So they're just going to use it regardless of how apt or not apt it actually is.
Well, yes. You know what the title of the episode after that is? The gloves are on.
Oh man. I can't wait. I just the joy of does Sarah Harvey have hands? Oh God, followed by new guys, new lies. We have some times ahead of us. Yes.
Yeah. New guys, new lives. I kind of love that. Like, I kind of love just how terrible that is. That feels like a latter season's like Sex in the City episode title or something.
Ooh, it does. It really does. Oh, we're also, I guess we should say, like, we're planning on doing a brief recap of the queerness of And Just Like That, show on which we have two really different opinions about. Normally we agree about so much of the liar content. It'll be really fun to come at a show that one of us likes more than the other one does.
And I'm just going to say, I am not caught up at all on just like that. I hate that title. It does not roll off the tongue at all.
To all of our listeners, like I think they probably know that like anything that we don't totally agree on, it's very likely that I'm the one who likes it and you're the one who like has enough taste to be like, oh, this thing. Spoiler alert.
I thought you were gonna say that you're the one who likes it and I'm the one who like has a bad attitude about it. I'm the hateful one.
No. You're much more discerning than I am. And I'm like just much more ready to be entertained.
Well, I just want to say I am not caught up on the show, but the internet fervor of the like, hey, it's me, Che Diaz has like reached me. And so I feel like I know all the memes, even if I don't, I don't know the characters yet. So, or the storyline. Right.
So to our listeners, who are like, oh, this is a bleak period of time jump. Once And Just Like That has wrapped and has shown us like all of the episodes that it has, we are planning a bonus episode around that at a later time.
Yeah. So get your Che Diaz hot takes ready to go. We want to hear them. also, we would love to hear your Charlotte De Laurentiis. Hey, two CD characters. We want to hear your Charlotte De Laurentiis hot takes as well. So you can, of course, send us an email at everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out our Instagram at everybodyapodcast. You can also send in a rating and review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. We will be back next week with Charlotte's Web. So until then.
Take care.